doctrine being taught on eschatology or the second coming of Jesus was the futurist view. Nobody knew of any other view until we started studying our Bibles. And some things didn't agree with other things. And so one of the books that we had access to, I think this one was written in 1940. It's by a good man. But let me read what he says on the Great Tribulation, chapter 8. Page 93. Those who have been attacking dispensational truth in the manner in which I have been referring tell us that the Great Tribulation is all in the past. Yeah, that's what I believe. But I have a question. They declare that the truth we have been teaching people for years, that is, that the Christian dispensation now on the verge of closing will be followed by the Great Tribulation, is all wrong. Yeah, that's what I say. So I'm in disagreement with the book. Just diametrically opposite. They say that it is just a fantastic notion unsupported by Scripture. I want to turn, therefore, to the book, that'd be the Bible, I suppose, and try to answer this question: is the tribulation in the past? Of course, if it is not in the past, it's still in the future. And first, I must speak briefly of the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. Let me say that, having been familiar with these things for 33 years and having examined very carefully much that has been written contrary thereto, I am absolutely convinced that the 70th week of Daniel is yet unfulfilled. Has anybody read the 70th week of Daniel? Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel, and upon thy holy city, thy people, that's the Jewish people, the holy city is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. Now how many think the transgression's finished and how many don't think? So that's these are the questions you have to ask yourself. And to make an end of sins, has an end been made of sins? Or is that still future? And to make reconciliation for iniquity, is that past or future? And to bring in everlasting righteousness, is that past or future? And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, is that past or future? See, personally, I think myself that the transgression was finished on Calvary's cross and that Jesus Christ made an end of sins on Calvary's cross, and that he made reconciliation for iniquity on Calvary's cross, and he brought in everlasting righteousness on Calvary's cross, and he sealed up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. To me, these things are past. These things are history. To them, these things are still future. That's how we get the name futurist. Okay? Let me say, okay, let's see. I am absolutely convinced that the 70th week of Daniel is yet unfulfilled, and I am absolutely convinced that the 70th week of Daniel has been fulfilled. Okay? So, it is the only view that, to my mind, harmonizes with all the prophecies and scriptures. It makes the book of Revelation perfectly clear. It explains the difficult things in the book of Daniel and other prophetic books. Until you see the breakdown between the 69th and 70th week, all is confusion. Do you know what the breakdown is between the 69th and 70th week? Does anybody know? The breakdown is that after you have gone through the prophesied 69 weeks, then there are 2,000 years until the 70th week. Now, and then God again resumes fulfilling the 70 weeks that are determined upon the Jews and upon the holy city. Now, that's exactly like saying it is 100 miles to Minneapolis. And it's, 70 to Hudson and 30 more to Minneapolis. Okay? But now, you will never believe that it's 2,100 miles to Minneapolis until you understand the breakdown. See, when you get to Hudson, you can't see the road. And so it's 2,000 miles ahead until you get to Minneapolis. But then suddenly the light dawns, and in 30 miles you see Minneapolis. They call that the great parenthesis. The great parenthesis. That's exactly what they believe. They say that Daniel's 70th week, from the 69th week to the 70th week, has a 2,000-year gap between it. Now, how many miles is it to Minneapolis? Even if somebody writes a book and says, No, you get to Hudson, and then you got to travel 2,000 more miles until you get back to the highway and go the rest of the way. And that would that's what it's saying. Now listen, here. Okay. It makes the book of Revelation perfectly clear. It explains the difficult things and so on. The great tribulation is to occur in this 70th week and the time of the end for the Jewish people. This, I know, is what is denied, but this is what I want to show is clearly taught in the Word. Those who teach the tribulation, and he goes on in that. Okay. Well, I just wanted you to know that we're not just talking up here. These things are promoted by expensive books. Okay. Authors, writers. But now, let me see. Yeah. Please, I am not making fun. I just want to know something. Those who have been attacking dispensational truth, and I don't know if I've been attacking it, but I've been disagreeing with it vehemently. In the manner in which I have been referring, tell us that the Great Tribulation is all in the past. So my question is, which Great Tribulation? There are three of them, you know. You didn't know that? There are three Great Tribulations, and only three, mentioned in your Holy Bible. Look in your concordance. Bring it up on your computer. Three great tribulations. Matthew 24:31, Revelation 2:22, and Revelation 7:14. I think I'm right. You can write those down. So when you say the great tribulation, which one are you talking about? There are three. What do? Shake dice? Draw straws? Which one are you talking about? That's what I want to know, Mr. Arnside. That's what I want to know. See, when you say something like telling us the Great Tribulation is all past, I want to know which Great Tribulation are you talking about, and I'll come back to that. But right now, I want to talk about Jesus said, or should I talk about the Great Tribulation? Maybe I should. Let me go ahead. Okay. Do you know that there are specific tribulations in the Bible? Now remember, now there's three great tribulations. I mean, if you're going to get technical and go by the word, the English words, great tribulation. Okay. There are specific tribulations in the Bible. There is tribulation on all evildoers. There is tribulation on all evildoers, Romans 2:9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentiles. Nobody excluded. Tribulation on every evildoer. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Persecutors of the church suffer tribulation. All evildoers suffer tribulation. No. Specific tribulations. Matthew 24:21 on that first great tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now this tribulation was a specific tribulation. It was on the Jews. It was a tribulation on the Jews. It was a tribulation of God's vengeance. It was a tribulation of God's wrath.
It was a tribulation that took place in 70 AD, not in 1998 or 1941 or 1914 or 1967, June 7 and the Six-Day War. It was a specific tribulation that came and went. It's gone. It's history. And there will never be another one like it. That's what the Bible says. No, nor ever shall be. Did I read that? Did you read that? Is that in your Bible? Well, then that's what it means. Okay, listen. It was a specific tribulation. It was on the Jews. It was a tribulation of God's vengeance and God's wrath. It was in 70 AD. It's past. It's history. And it's never to be repeated. That was that tribulation. A specific tribulation. Listen to this great tribulation. This is on the church of Thyatira, Revelation 2:22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Isn't God good to give us space to repent when we backslide, when we go wrong, when we sin, when we miserably fail God? Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. This was a specific tribulation. This was a tribulation that happened at the church of Thyatira. This church allowed Jezebel to teach and seduce. So don't think a pastor's hard when he doesn't allow some things in a church. Things that precipitate immorality. You know? In other words, wear some clothes. Things like that. Okay? So this was a specific tribulation. It happened at the church of Thyatira. This was not a tribulation for the church at Ephesus or Smyrna or Pergamos. It was Thyatira. It wasn't for Sardis or Philadelphia or Laodicea. It was Thyatira. It was a specific tribulation. And all those that sinned with Jezebel would be tribulated. They go into tribulation. Great tribulation, it said. I'm talking about the three great tribulations in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to write a book on this because this isn't exactly the way I see it. But I'm presenting it to you from the English words. If you want to say that the great tribulation is one great tribulation, then I say, no way. No way. Okay? And there's another great tribulation. And that's specific. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. You got to read the whole context. It's beautiful. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This was and still is a specific tribulation. Everyone that goes through and comes out of this tribulation is a winner. They were winners and they still are winners. Everyone overcame. Everyone that came out of this tribulation overcame. And everyone that came through this tribulation washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We just read about three great tribulations. And there are more. Christians will suffer tribulation. Oh no, I'm going to camp meeting where they preach better news than that. I want to hear the good news. We're not going to suffer. Nobody's nailing me to a cross. Nobody's boiling me in oil. Nobody's pouring hot lead in my ears. Nobody's pulling my fingernails out. Nobody's putting me on the wheel. Oh, no, I'm going up. Listen, Jesus began my talk here on Christians will suffer tribulation. These things I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Matthew 13. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Whether or not these people were saved or got saved and backslid or died right away, I don't That's not the issue for me right now. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. See? Did the guy get saved or didn't he? Did the lady get saved or didn't she? That's not my point right now. My point is, whenever you begin this journey, this Christian journey, you're going to have tribulation. Look, yet he hath not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by or immediately he is offended. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why does Paul say we? Not just me, Paul, but we glory in tribulation. We Christians glory in tribulation. You know, if I said, let's all stand up and glory in our troubles, I wonder how many of us would put our whole heart into it. You know? But he says, not only so, but we glory in our problems. We glory in our troubles. We glory in our persecutions. We glory in our tribulations. Somebody wrote and said, there is a shallow Christianity spreading over the land. We don't want a shallow church, folks. You don't want to be a shallow saint, folks. You want to rejoice because you are growing when the winds are blowing. Praise the Lord. Why does he glory in tribulation? Because he knows something. And I told you about the lady that came up and said, Pastor, pray for me. Lay your hands on me. Pray for me. Anoint me with oil. Do something wonderful because I need patience and I need it now. Pastor laid his hands on her head and he said, oh God, send this woman a variety of problems, all kinds of trouble. Give her great tribulation. No, no, Pastor, I didn't pray for trouble. I didn't pray for tribulation. I want patience. And the pastor said, tribulation worketh patience, ma'am. Tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience works experience. And experience works hope. And hope makes not ashamed. How many want to be ashamed on Judgment Day? How many don't want to be ashamed on Judgment Day? Then glory in your tribulations. Glory in your tribulations. We got to have a mindset change in this generation. We really do. Because a lot of this generation, religious generation, has been pampered. Amen. But that's not the doctrine Jesus taught. Okay? So now Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these tribulations we are more than conquerors. Don't let your tribulations get you down. Amen. Overcome. Be an overcomer. You know, a good way to pray is say, Lord, I'm not, the Lord said, Jesus said that they're going to hate you. They hated me. And in my paraphrasal here, you're not better than I am. You're not better than I am. So if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. You know, and some people scream, holler, and cry and say, oh, Jesus suffered pain for me so I wouldn't have to suffer pain. Jesus was crucified for me so I wouldn't have to be crucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 2 Corinthians 1, 4. Who comforteth us in all our... You read that whole passage, verse 1 through 4. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Read it all. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Just saw a picture today of somebody in stocks, holes, you know, in boards, upside down. And I don't know what they were doing, but they pour oil into their ears. They took women and hung them tied them to a row of tree or something, and they would slice, pregnant women, they'd slice their belly and watch the baby fall out into the fire, and the mother would see it. And then she'd die, of course, burned up. Now, how do you think? What do you think now? You see, the big argument is the church going through the tribulation? No, we're not going through the tribulation. Glory to God. Oh, we're going up. We're going up, up, up. We're not going to go through any tribulation. Now, what do you think that lady would say if you came up and interviewed her and said, ma'am, while they have the sword there right in front of her belly and her baby's going to drop in the fire, ma'am, do you think the church is going to go through the tribulation? What do you think she'd say? That's not near as important as what I think God would say. I think he would say, son, you are sick. You need healing. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Instead of saying, ma'am, when you're in tribulation, when you're being martyred, when you're facing death, suffering and persecution, when your children are killed before you, recant, recant. I mean, it's tough. But he comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them. Instead of going up and saying, ma'am, do you think the church is going through the tribulation? Why not go up and say, hang on, daughter of God. Hang on, daughter of Abraham. Hang on, daughter of Zion. Hang on. There's victory ahead. There's more to life than this life. It's eternal life. Praise God. You hang on and be an overcomer, and I'll encourage you. I'll comfort you in all your tribulation. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, 5, and 6. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Remember when the apostles were beaten, their backs were hurting and bleeding, and they left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake? Don't you want that mentality? Don't you want that mentality? I do. I think I've got it. Hallelujah. Get it, folks. Get it. Because if there's going to be big persecution, a big trouble coming on this world, I would much rather have you ready for it than tell you you're going to escape it and not be ready for it. Hallelujah. For when we come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. This is Paul talking. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down or going through tribulation, comforted us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions or tribulations or thlipsis. Or, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Do you think I'm a false prophet? Or do you think maybe I'm a true one? When I tell you beforehand that you will suffer persecution if you're going to follow Jesus to the cross, to Gethsemane, to the cross, to the tomb, to the glory. For verily, when we were with you, this is what Paul said, and I'm saying the same thing to you. We told you before that we should suffer persecution. Even as it came to pass, and ye know, Jesus found no fault with the church at Smyrna. He found no fault with the church at Philadelphia. He found fault with all the other five of the seven churches, but not with these two. And it's to this church that he found no fault with that he said unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last which was dead and is alive, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. 10 days, it will be over. You will be in glory. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I want to tell you something. Jesus found no fault with the church at Smyrna. These saints did not miss the rapture, yet they had great tribulation. I I repeat, the moment you were born again, you began your journey through the great tribulation.
Yep.
2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure.
Boy, God is mean, isn't he? We were going to go up, you know, and escape all these things.
No, you're going to go through and escape all these things. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Did you hear that? Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Listen, folks, the facts that tribulations do come doesn't mean you missed the rapture. The fact that tribulations do come to you, as predicted, confirm that you are in the faith. That's what he's saying. Listen to it again. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer. Don't consider your tribulation as punishment or a curse or a calamity. No. Acts 14:22. Turn there. Just listen to that. Listen to that. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. They went back over all the churches from their missionary journeys, you know. They confirming all the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we Christians, we believers, and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What's your entrance into the kingdom of God? Much tribulation. You can't be playing games all the time. You can't just be having fun and enjoying pleasure all the time. You can't be doing that. You know? That he's not going to say, did you have a lot of fun tonight? Oh, you can come into the kingdom of God. No. You suffer tribulation. What Paul have? 390 of them? Stripes on his back? I know this isn't a popular doctrine, but it's the Bible doctrine. This is what the Bible teaches. And I personally have my doubts about people who whine and whimper and can't go through tribulation and backslide over it. I personally have my doubts about their safety. Okay. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that the book of Revelation is considered a book of the great tribulation? And the futurists generally believe that the seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 are seven church ages, beginning with the early church and ending with the Laodicean lukewarm church, which many generations have claimed to be their church, accused their generation of being that Laodicean church. And then they say the rapture takes place in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I beheld. That's the rapture, they say, the futurists. And then the bulk of the rest of the book is considered to be the great tribulation, up until chapter 19, I guess. Okay. Now, I'm very sober. I'm very serious about that, because I'm going to use, and you didn't read the whole book. I did, I guess. Read a lot of them anyway. I have a lot of them, read a lot of them. Just because I want to know what other people believe, and I want to know how good their arguments are, and then you decide for yourself, and you're accountable for what you agree with and disagree with and choose, right? Okay. So here. I'm going to use this reasoning, the reasoning that the futurists apply, most of them generally, okay? Now, if I apply that position, How would I understand Revelation chapter 1 verse 9? How would I interpret? How would I understand Revelation chapter 1 verse 9? I'll tell you the only way that you can interpret that, if you apply that reasoning, is this way, and I'll tell you. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. John says, I'm your companion in tribulation. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that was tribulation. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, in order to be a companion of tribulation saints, if the tribulation doesn't begin until after the rapture, then John would have to be raised from the dead. Reason with me. He would have to backslide, the Apostle John. He would have to backslide so he would miss the rapture and become a companion to those who missed the rapture and had to go through the great tribulation. Isn't that absurd? How else are you going to interpret Revelation chapter 1 verse 9? If this book is a book of tribulation, that of a great tribulation that begins after the rapture. Oh, of course he'd have to give his head to be saved too. That head that he laid on Jesus' breast. Oh. This is not what Revelation 7:14 means. It is not. Oh, the Bible says here is the patience and faith of the saints right in the middle of the great tribulation. Now remember, we're not talking about the great tribulation of Matthew 24:21. On the Jews suffering the vengeance and the wrath of God. We're not talking about that great tribulation. What we're talking about here is the great tribulation that began when Jesus left and said, "You in the world you shall have tribulation," and will end when Jesus comes again. That's what makes it great. Not merely an intensity. The intensity will vary through the ages. Look at the Inquisition. Look at the suffering that saints have gone through. Just think of it. The suffering that saints have gone through. I said this is not what Revelation 7:14 means. I better add, to me. Means that to some people. But right in the middle of the book, it's here is the faith and patience of the saints. It's twice, two times. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There's your tribulation, folks. And they overcame him. They came out of great tribulation and washed their robes. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And that wasn't a bunch of backsliders either, that were so ungodly that they missed the rapture. Oh, no. Well, I am not going to try to cover another subject here, the abomination of desolation, because time is running out. And it would kind of be almost an abrupt change from the spirit we're in right now. But let's stand. Could we stand? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think somebody wants to pray. I think somebody wants to get their hearts right with God. I think that if we're trying to avoid tribulation instead of glorying in it, I don't mean it quite that way. I don't think we should just walk into trouble and problems and say, hey, come on, half kill me, you know. I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking if when tribulation comes and we don't glory in it and we don't have the right attitude, I think we're on the wrong road. I really do. I think we're on the wrong road. I think we need to get on track. We need to get back on the right road. And you know, that's another long subject. But you know,
sometimes there are problems that come our way that are designed by God for our spiritual growth and maturity. And the only thing you can do, if you're going to try to escape it, is say, oh God, don't let me grow. I don't want to become any more mature. I don't want to be closer to you, God. Stay away now. You're close enough. We can't do that. We can't do that. I don't think that a real, true saint of God should do that. You know, I think we should try to understand what God is trying to do in our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many still love me anyhow? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. God will forgive the rest of you. Hallelujah.
We shall overcome.
Oh, I love that.
Keep loving, never give up. We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
Praise
the Lord. We shall overcome.
Give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man can know, saving him that receiveth it.
We shall overcome, but keep the faith.
He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You may come and pray, keep singing. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hallelujah. Oh, we're looking for overcomers. We're looking for overcomers. Jesus is looking for overcomers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We shall overcome. We'll keep the faith. Never give up. We shall overcome. Well, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We'll keep the faith. Never give up. We shall overcome.